Blog Talk Radio.
We gon' start this thing off right. Duval in the money logging out. Come on, now come on. Do it, baby, take it, baby.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best
oh my.
Is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won.
Yeah.
Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best
is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a
the
winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people talk to you, ain't seen no
you best. Ain't seen your best days.
Oh, what a.
everybody. My name is Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Real to You. And today is more or less the best day of the week, because it's the second day of the week, but it's Marvelous Monday. Start off, most people work days, so they get so excited about working through Monday, they know they can make Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and get eventually on Friday to the weekend. Again, we're coming to you every other Monday, Talking Real to You. This is a Smith Way production. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to be heard, that you use that number to call in. Or you just want to listen to the show, you can use that same number or go to our web link, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/Smith Way Production. Let us kind of give you some information about our brand. Our brand is, this show focuses on just plain old life issues. And it is the only father and daughter blog talk radio team in the country that bring you energetic conversation about political, social, economic, educational, and financial issues. Again, just plain old life issues. So we want to make sure you enjoy yourself. So use the call-in number, and I'll give it to you again, which is 347-857-4192. You can call in, be a part of the show, just listen to it, or just press 1, and after you press 1, we'll identify you the last 4 digits of your cell number or telephone number, and then we'll ask you to identify yourself as well as where you're calling from. All right, as I stated, this is a father and daughter blog talk radio show. Now, we've been kind of back and forth, and the co-host has been in and out, but I know she texts me and says she's sick. And she wasn't feeling well, but we still make it a point to introduce our co-host, and she's my daughter, and that's Lauren D. Smith. She's our millennial, and she carried that name very well, and she's so proud to have it. But at this time, she was going through a rehab, still going through a rehab on her knee, but she's came down sick today and was not able to go to rehab, because normally I go with her 2 to 3 times a week. And we was not able to go this morning, but we'll get back at it tomorrow. We're just trying to get her ready so she can get off to college for grad school at Alabama A&M, where she's heading in January. So, Lauren, we want you to get better, and I know as soon as the expert come on, they'll tell you the same thing. All right. Also, I have 2 special people. I just can't do it without those individuals. And the thing about it, right now, I only have 1 of them on here now. You know, we're going to be doing it duo tonight. We're going to do it 2 for 2 tonight. We're going to do 2 and 2, Bert. And the one that's on the line, I'm going to introduce her. Cause I like to take time and give her the right introduction. I don't really just throw her name out there. You know, this person, I appreciated when she accepted the opportunity to join us. It's been so enlightening, been so exciting, talking about just plain old life issues. None other that fares from the state or comes from the state of Greenville, the state of South Carolina, which is Greenville, South Carolina, none older other than, ooh, I'm getting kind of tongue-tied here, Miss Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
I'm doing fine. Good evening. I hope you're doing okay, and we hope that Coach Lauren will continue to improve and she can get back to her rehab. Missing kind of Dr. Olivia tonight. But we'll hold the fort down. And so it's such an honor to be with you again and the listening audience.
And I do thank you, Scarlett, for just taking time to be here. I know there have been some challenging times up your way for the last 2 weeks or so. And again, our prayer just that these things get where you know, God is doing things, and when God do it, we just have to, you know, continue to work and do what we're supposed to do. He's going to take care of us, and that's what our prayers is for each and every one of you all up in that area, dealing with these weather conditions and dealing with the other inclement situations that's creating situations up in your area, South Carolina, North Carolina, as well as Georgia and those areas on the East Coast. So we do pray that everything begin to get right and where y'all can be comfortable and don't have to deal with any heating problems or any cold weather, whatever it may be. So we do want to make sure we say that and say that we do pray for it to get better as soon as possible. All right, just a few more things in the form of I call house cleaning things. Now, as I said earlier, you can go to the web link, www.blogtalkradio.com/the Smith Way Production. If you want to go to email, you can go to talkingrealtoyou@gmail.com or tweet the show at talkingrealtoyou at LorenzoDSmith15 at Coach L_L_Smith. And you can tweet us that way. We're so excited to be able to come before you tonight because we say every other week, but sometimes it'd be a longer. But I want everybody to know that the holidays are coming up, and we all want to spend time with our families and with our friends. So we won't be back on until January. That will give us an opportunity to enjoy the holidays, and we're talking about possibly the second week in January, not the first week, because the first week includes New Year's. So it'll be the following week, and we're going to let you know that on all our shows. We're going to make sure we rotate and take this holiday and spend time with our families as well. All right, Scarlett, we're here. We the duo, the bad two, we're going to call us. We're going to make it do what it's due. We're going to enjoy it. It's the title for the show. You know, they're talking like that. You know, like I said, keep it 100, all that good old stuff right there. You know
keep
how they're talking
to
the millennials. Keep it real. There you go. It's time
keep
to stop
real.
Playing. That's the title. Keeping it real. It's time to stop playing. And it's part two. Because we had part one recently, and we just could not cover everything. So there were some topics that we didn't get a chance, and we added a few others here. We're going to look at some social topics or social issues. But before I go any further, I did not do the proper introduction for Dr. Smith, even though she's not available to be here tonight, but I want to make sure I do it right. Hails from the state of Georgia, our expert. She's not with us, but she needs to be recognized because she's a very important part of this team, and that's Dr. Olivia E. Smith out of the state of Georgia. She's our expert. I hope she get everything works out for her. As far as I know, she had some things she needed to do and wasn't going to be able to be on here. Was not at the point up to par, but we pray that everything is right for you as well. All right. It's time to stop playing part two, Scarlett. Let's stop playing. Some of the topics we want to look at, which is starting with social issues. Is there a target on the black man back? I said black males, but is it a target on the black male's back? Let's respond and see how we want to discuss that. But you can be a part of it as well. That's 347-857-4192. 347-857-4192. Scarlett, tell me what you feel about the target being on the black male's back.
I don't know if I would call it a target, but there certainly have been challenges for the black man, the black male, throughout our history as a race, beginning from slavery all the way through. And those threads, and I talk about those threads, we've talked about this when we've had other shows, threads of history, threads of the things that we have gone through as a people, continue those threads today. In terms of what's happening to our black men, our black males, we know the issues that are affecting us in 2018. We know the situations with being the statistics saying more likely to be killed and not even live to see old age. Of that thing affects our black men, our black males, and the conversations you have to have with your sons, your nephews, your grandsons, things of that nature to apprise them of how they should conduct themselves, should they be pulled over and stopped, and the things that they have to go through just even walk down the street. Even President Obama talked about it as President of the United States, how he, as a young man growing up, and even becoming president, those issues that still affect our men today. I don't know if I have time to tell the story. Well, we'll see. But you go ahead and with your comments, and I'll come back to that. We have a little time to tell the story. I want to tell a story about my grandfather and his last name.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things we have. Let me just kind of share some thoughts with this target on target. Like you say, I don't believe it's so much as a target on our black males, but being a black male myself, being able to teach my son and my grandson the type of response we should have, not saying that my grandson or my son or my brother or my cousins or whoever it may be will have that negative response, but because of let's be real. Now, we're not going to play tonight. Because of the color of my skin, and when I say mine, because I am a black male that will encounter the same problem, anybody, no matter where you come from, financially, wherever you may be, your social aspects or your economic aspect, I will encounter that not because of what suit I may have on. It might be because of the color of my skin. So it may not be a target on our back, but we need to make sure we understand we be in accordance to not putting ourselves in that situation. Now, I just want us as black males to understand it, but our young black men can't be able to be held accountable for everything if we don't, as black men with a little wisdom, are we from the baby boom time, let's say baby boomers, are we from the Generation X, that we go back and we teach and show them things that are comfortable to be survival thing. I call them survival kits. And those survival kits is being able to deal with situations when we do get out in the community, how we get and when we get out in the streets and doing things in the community. You know, how to deal with this situation with law enforcement. You know, what is your response? How is it going to be your response? And I understand everybody said, well, you know, we was given the right to say what we want to speak freely, but sometimes it can create a problem, not only just with law enforcement, even with our own cultural people and our other individuals. Well, we have many of our black males being killed in our communities, and it's not always by anybody but each other black males or black females. We got to understand it's important that we begin to deal with the situation accordingly so we can survive, because we need each and every one of these young men to be able to survive. You know, besides losing many of our young men for the age of 25, you think about how many we lose that end up in prison by the age of 18, 19, 15, 16. They are going very early, and their time span in prison is very long. Because once you take them out of the setting, because if you go in at 15, 16, 17 years old, you're in prison for 30 years, it seems like your life in society stopped right then, because that's all you knew. So when you come out as a 48-year-old man, you still have the mentality of a 16-year-old, because that's how society you knew as a free man. So one of the things is we're not only just losing them to where we sometime taking upon ourselves to get angry with each other and pull out the weapon and use the weapon, or the law enforcement pulling out the weapon, but we losing them to the prison. And then the other part that, and I feel like it's important when we say it's not a target, but we're losing them because they're not striving to get education. They're not striving to take advantage of the opportunity to be educated. And if you're not educated, you fall into another category. And that category means you're going to be at a disadvantage to survive in society. And I just want to start right there. Then, Scarlett, you can come in and share your thoughts on that, and then I can follow up after that.
Okay. As a former principal of a disadvantaged school that took a school from what folks said that children could not do to one of a school that was a high-achieving school, one of my priorities and that of that bought into it, because it was a buy-in, that kids are kids everywhere. And the same thing that folks of other persuasions want for their children, we needed to do the same thing for our kids. We were heavily minority, heavy boys, and we created a lot of programs where we taught survival skills. To look someone eye to eye when you're speaking to them, to extend your hand to shake it, those things that people don't tell you that will help you in society, because that's one of the first things that people look for, how well you can communicate and express yourself without being angry and without feeling subservient, because we taught our kids that you're not subservient to anyone. You're just as good, mm-hmm. and you have the skills. And as a result of that, we were able to have a lot of our young males who were first-generation students in their families to go to college. And I can proudly say finished college. Got two mm-hmm. young men, my former students, who are now at high-quality universities in this country and doing extremely well. So don't tell me it can't be done, because it can. We've done it. We've seen it done. And we've seen the results of our actions in our hearts. And that's, I think, it goes to the bottom line, your heart in it. There are many educators around this country who have the heart for children and want to see them succeed. And so all the stories and all the dismantling that's going on now of our educational system from the national level, and it's real. You're hearing stories coming out this week and this past week of what's happening with this Secretary of Education, who is dismantling a lot of things that affect minority children, children of poverty, so things of that nature. I also served on a community board, the very first in this county, that was called Save Our Sons. And our goal as a committed group, a community action agency, was to look at the incarceration rates of minority males and to see what could be done in terms of the sentencing and also the type of representation that they had and received, that they did have to come before a judicial system or find themselves in judicial system. Oftentimes, the result was that they could not afford bail. And so that means that if they got bail, they remained in jail until it was time to go before a judge or whatever. So we were involved in all kinds of things like that, and looking at that and making sure that we were calling attention and making people aware. We met in the law enforcement center. The police chief was African-American at that time, and so he had a vested interest in looking at law enforcement in another way, another venue, just another way of looking at it. And not everyone that comes before the judicial system or find themselves in law enforcement situation are guilty. And unfortunately, if you can't make bail and you can't get proper representation through the legal system, oftentimes you are I don't want to use the word, that word, maybe railroaded, but oftentimes you'll sign things or you'll plead to things that maybe you shouldn't have and get a higher sentence because you didn't understand, what was put before you and the families that, of these young men. So we were involved in all those kind of things and worked very hard to make sure that there was a reduction and that things were just better. Unfortunately, we're now at a time now where they're talking about sentence reduction in the White House and at this in looking at judicial systems and how the judges are. But you, again, last week, the last time we met, I talked about why elections are important. And elections have consequences because you have a Senate. You have the head of the Senate. Who is bent on putting very conservative judges in these on these courts. And whether or not you think your vote counts, yes, your vote counts, and it counts not only when we talk about running for president, it counts all the way from the local all the way up, and about who is in charge and who is able to get these appointments through. That's why it's important to get senators and to win back the Senate also, because that's where those decisions are made, as we can see and have seen with the appointments to the Supreme Court. That's not the only court. You got appellate courts. You have district courts. You have it all the way through. A couple weeks ago, when we had an attorney on this show, it was so good to see that, we have young people and those who are going into law enforcement who are, bringing a new slant, if you want to say, to the process, mm-hmm. and looking at things differently. So, again, going back to the original question and then talking real talk now, whether black males or men have a target on their backs, it's a challenge, and it will continue to be a challenge in this country. For some reason, we are viewed as menacing and just always all the bad things that can be said, very negative and abusive things that can be said about black men and about Hispanic men, as we have heard, and people that are just different because of religion, ethnicity, race, or whatever case may be.
Exactly.
And we got to turn the picture around.
And Scott is hitting things head on. No reason for me to have to interrupt her like I did at the end. I did, but she's hitting everything on the head. There's one thing we need to do. We need to, you know, remember our famous thing we talked about in the beginning, Scarlett, when we talked about block by block. We have to do it block by block. We have to be involved and stop standing back, assuming someone else going to take care of the situation that we have in our community. Our black males are screaming and shouting. We need someone, need us. And if we as black adult males to reach back and help these young men and help them to have an opportunity to do what they're going to have an opportunity, but we want them to have the right opportunity to be successful. And they can't be if we don't take time to share some things with them. Yes, they're going to be a little rebellious because they're in a time where, you know, a little different. We're in what we call the technology society now. And by being in technology, they may know a little bit more than you think. You can't come to them and just simply talk with them. You got to have some substance in what you're talking about and use whatever you're talking about and how it relate to their lives. Because, you know, I had an opportunity before I retired, and as I would share thoughts and mentor several students, you know, they always talk about when you talk to them, you're preaching to them. When you're just telling them the truth, you're keeping it real, like they say, but they say you are now preaching to them. But that's the mentality. We have to make it have them involved. You know, interactive when we're talking with them. Give them examples. Show them how they can be better off than they are now. We have to do that. If we don't do that, we're going to continue to lose them more and more because of the court system. Scarlett brought up something very important. You know, a lot of times individuals be caught in the wrong place, and if they don't have any money to get themselves out of a $150,000 bail, property bail, or cash bail, then they end up staying there. Then here you go, this what they call this plea bargain attorney who's hired by the city, hired by the city now, that comes in and offer them something. Well, you can do 5 or 6 years and you'll be out in 2 or 3 years. But the thing about it, once you make that commitment and take that plea bargain, you can't come and say it wasn't me because you didn't took the plea bargain. You took the plea bargain. Now you got to go behind the institution or go behind the walls of the institution and learn to survive. You have to survive, and you have to. The thing about you do not – gain a whole lot when you go behind them walls. You actually lose something as a young man because you're taken out of your culture, your environment, and put into I think Scarlett said, not a jungle. We're not going to say a jungle, but that's what they say. You know, when you're in the jungle, you have to survive like you're in the jungle. And the thing about it, when you go into a setting where you have to survive, because your freedom is being taken away from you. Yes, it may have been your choice to make that, but sometimes we just don't have the funding to help pay the money out in the court system like some of the other majority race have to the Caucasian. They have some money. They have money to pay, and they may not give a probation, or they may just walk away completely. So those are the kind of things we just got to continue to teach our young people. All institutions should play a part in this. We want you to be a part of the show as well. That's 347-857-4192. We just kind of, Scarlett, we kind of put a lot of things in there when we was talking about specifically black males. We're going to move to our educational issues that occurred. And one of the biggest things that is not only just happened recently, as I read the article about Maryland, the state of Maryland with the historical black colleges, I know it happened in Alabama and in Georgia, talking about financial equality. You know, inequities are there. And we want to just kind of talk about this fight for financial equality. Why are we in 2018, and this is what it came out, it's supposed to go in the state of Maryland, they're supposed to go to determine whether they're going to go to the appellate court or determine where it's going to go or whether they're going to work a deal out so that make sure the historical black colleges in the state of Maryland get the same funding that your white traditional schools or your white colleges get. You know, we this is something we want to look at, and we want to talk about, take a minute. We're talking about the state of Maryland, but you can probably relate to some things in South Carolina, North Carolina, or either Georgia, as I can relate to Alabama, Florida. We are always striving and driving. And just remember, the majority of our students there, now I know a lot of the other majority races come in there, but a lot of our students have our opportunities through the historical black colleges. They get a chance to go to college, finish college, then move toward having an opportunity to have a career, because we've always been told that we have to do more. We just can't do less. If we got a bachelor's degree, we need to get a master's degree. If we got a master's degree, we need to get what? A double A in some cases, some places. If not an EDS, if not a doctorate, where there are counterparts, they'll just tell them, okay, you go get a high school diploma and you'll have a better job than the struggles that we have as in our historical black colleges and universities. Scarlett, you can share your thoughts on that as well.
Well, going back to the Secretary of Education for the United States of America, I won't call her name. She basically does not have any educational background. But last week, and I think it came out again today, that she's looking to, she was not in agreement, but they're going to do it, but she's in agreement with it forgive the debt of those who are in these pay schools. I forgot what she called them. I can't think of it right now. But anyway, the debt, tremendous amount of debt that these college students and families are incurring today is just unreasonable, absolutely unreasonable. Mm-hmm. There is a place. There's always been a place, and I hope and pray there will always be a place for HBCUs. I'm a product of HBCU. I think you are too, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes.
Uh-huh. Proud product of HBCU.
Proud.
And just proud because when we came through, that was it for us. We didn't have the opportunity, you know. Now the opportunity is there where you can go anywhere you want to go if you have the academic background to get there. Oftentimes, our kids don't have the networking, the resources to do that. And so you need loans. You need those work-study jobs, you know, just even stay there and get there. And to me, this is still part of the higher education. So why aren't we putting more money, as much money, and being financially equitable into all the schools? If you're in the state of Maryland, state of South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, wherever, you know, pour the money in and be fair to everyone. My concern is that, and it's just a concern that we just need to make sure that administrators in all of our schools, predominantly black, predominantly white, or whatever, that we're handling the finances of those schools properly, and that we're being transparent with how those dollars are being spent, and that even inside the institutions, it's equitable for everyone inside the institution, whether it's predominantly black or predominantly white. Is that making sense?
Oh, that makes plenty of sense. Yes, it does.
You know, just making sure that you're being equitable with those dollars and that people that are the leaders in these institutions are doing the right thing with the dollars. I got some horror stories from young people I've worked with for years. One young lady called me one night and said that she was trying to get her transcript. Couldn't get the transcript because the school said that she owed all this money and they wouldn't release it. she graduated 3 years before she tried to get this training. She'd already graduated. She'd been out of school for 3 years.
Yes.
Her career. And was trying to go back to do some additional postgraduate work. And could not get the transcript. Now, I have that. You know, we have to be with the dollars that we're given, but we also got to make sure that we are being equitable and that we have the proper people who are trained to handle these dollars in place, whether it's white or black predominant institutions or white institutions. And I'm hoping that's,
exactly.
that's making sense. But there's a lot of things out there on both sides of the coin that you know, that could be said, and we can always do better. But the bottom line is these legislators in these states, the ones that are giving out the dollars, need to make sure that it's been equitable, financially equitable, all the way around. And if it winds up at the Supreme Court in Maryland to make a point, that's going to make a point to everyone else in this country, then I'm all for it.
Exactly. And, you know, This is not anything new, because I saw this same thing develop in 1980s in the state of Alabama,
mm-hmm.
where there was a lawsuit filed by one of the legislators, John Knight, and I'll call his name. He's a House of Representatives, District 77. And he filed a lawsuit on behalf of the historical black colleges and universities to make sure the financial or the finance was equal. Regardless what kind of university you have, or more or less, I'm trying to say that whether you got 3,000 students or 30,000 students, if the money is coming from the state of Alabama, let's make sure it's equal. And don't give us 90% when you're getting 100%. I think that even occurred when we said went from segregation, and I can go back that far, to integration. You know, we had our black school. It was given some of the worst books there was. The building was that's really deplorable. And you had your white school with the best books, textbooks, and everything. That's equality too. That's what we're talking about. Each one of those deserve that opportunity. Each one of our students deserve that opportunity, especially our children. We need to be fighting. We should be still fighting in 2018, whether it's a historical. A black college or university fighting just to have equality financial, but we're still dealing with there. But you got to remember, when we're voting these individuals in these national positions, these secretaries, or appointed secretaries, or judges, they're going to look out for the interests they think is best toward their constituents. And we have to keep that in mind when we're dealing with this situation. So you can be a part of this. Make sure you just call at 347-857-4192. Press 1. I will identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, and then ask you to join the conversation by letting us know your name and your location. All right, Scarlett, we're going to move to the next topic, and we're going to kind of expedite some things as we talk about the next educational topic. And being that we both have worked in predominant black schools, and I've worked in predominant white schools. But we're going to look at this. Why are the educational institution, and I'm just saying that a lot of institutions are portrayed as failing youth in the 21st century. And what I mean is that we have this list of failing schools that are proficient and schools are non-proficient. And majority of the time is our African-American school systems that where a lot of our urban schools have turned predominant black, and our suburban schools are where the flight is going. We just want to know why it's always identified as failing. We like putting that label, which I have a problem with that label, and some people may agree or disagree with me. I'm fine with that. I don't like saying a school is failing when you have a certain cutoff score and they miss the score by 2 points or 10 points, and everybody in that school failing. You're saying they are failing, and I have a real serious problem with that. But that's my thought on that. Scarlett, you can jump in and share your thoughts in regards to, you know, why educational institution, which is black education institute, portrayed as failing our youth of the 21st century.
Well, basically, that's my whole being. My philosophy, my motto was, it's all about the children. And I didn't care about the poverty because I had a poverty rated school and things of that nature. But discipline, if you ask, depending on who's answering the surveys, you ask educators, the classroom teachers, it's all about, you know, discipline. My thing is, you have to understand how to reach a child. And when you're first out of college, out of school, out of university, and you want to become a teacher, some do not have that skill, that skill set. These are things that for many, you know, have to be developed over time. You need to be mentored and paired with veteran teachers, folks who have been through a lot of situations in dealing with children, and look at children as not being bad. I hate someone calling a kid bad. Children are children, and developmentally, you know, if you, you know, we could all be called bad at one point in our lives or whatever.
Yes.
I hate to hear parents call their kids bad. No, they're not.
Awesome.
But they're, you know, they're crying out for attention. And they and when you, you know, you're coming from particularly urban situations where no one talks to you all day long. The only thing you hear at home are commands. Go to bed, get up, eat. Didn't I tell you to do this? That's not conversations, and that's not talk. Conversations in other households. How was your day? Tell me about your teacher.
Mm-hmm.
What's your interest subject? To that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that we have to, you know, try to steer towards trying to get our kids to know the difference between being in a home where there's just commands and no one talks to you or even have a conversation with you or don't even recognize that you're even there in the house. These are things you have to deal with. And this is what, you know, we had to plow through. And okay, well, if it's not happening at home, then when he comes to school, when John comes to school, then I need you at the door every morning, opening your door, greeting John. Hi, John, glad to see you today. Come on in, let's learn something together. That's a conversation. It's getting that kid's mind off of what's not happening, what maybe should happen at home, that maybe will never happen at home. But at least he knows there is a difference, that someone is caring and listening and having conversations. So discipline, it can be rough sometimes. And I'm seeing a lot of things on Facebook that people are posting. I don't know if the stuff is real or not. But kids standing on desks and challenging the teacher and hitting the teacher. This, you know, it's kind of, well, my thing was, and what we always try to instill, there's only one authority in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You're the authority. The child is the student. There are ways that you deal with that situation, but don't fight back, put your hands on them or whatever. Get someone to help you if you don't know what to do and get involved. But
that's awesome, Scarlett.
It's almost like if we've lost the, when I do workshops, you know, I talk about there's a line. And believe it or not, kids want to know what that line is. And if the line is always moving, you're confusing the kid. Because the kid doesn't know where the boundary is because you keep moving the boundary. So who's going to be the kid and who's going to be the parent? Who's going to be the authority? You know, where a child has a boundary and say, okay, I got you now. I understand. And it's not going to happen maybe the first or second time, but you got to keep reinforcing it until you realize there is a boundary. We don't cross this boundary. I'm going to listen to you because I want to hear what you have to say. And then you got to really mean and listen to what a kid is saying to you. What they're crying, the attention they're crying out for. And no, it's not a Pollyanna philosophy attitude, but Because you got, you know, the first thing they put on the survey, it's the discipline. You know, I'm not, I don't like it because I don't like being in this school because it's discipline. Nobody, but you know, when a school's not designed to meet your needs as the adult, we're going to get what you need to help teach the children and be with the children. But the need is about the child. That's the reason why you went into it in the first place, at least for many of us.
And Scarlett, just to kind of jump in right there, you know, I hear some of the things you're saying, and these are some of the things I always talk about. And I always tell people one of my three things that I share with children and I share with adults is one thing you can count on from Dr. Smith, the three L's. I'm going to be fair. I'm going to be firm with you, and I'm going to be funny. And this is where you don't have no sliding scale, because if you're fair, and fair meaning that you stand outside the door. I used to tell people as a principal, I stand outside, good morning, how y'all doing? Hey, you're looking real good. It's little simple things that they don't get at home. They get enough screaming and shouting at home. They get enough talking to them and telling them, even from their relatives, you know, you're not very smart. You're not, you know, you're in special ed. You still can't perform. You dumb and all that stuff. You know, that irritates me. They're already being torn down when they're torn at home. When they come to school, you are the safe place. I remember years ago, Scarlett, I don't know whether you remember that, and it was in your area. Schools used to have this sign on it called a triangle, whether I can't remember, octagon sign that said safe school, a safe place.
Safe
you could be
place,
safe
yeah.
when you go there. But our schools have gotten away from being safe place because things are moving so fast. Mm-hmm.
Right. My sad when they said, Ms. Black, one thing about you, we know you believe in us. My sad was believe. It was all over the school.
Yep.
People gave me gifts,
exactly.
And that was the one word we got, believe, because we believed that when you dropped them off that morning, when they came in by bus, and they were in our care, we were going to give them the very best that we could give, and then some.
Exactly.
And when they left
exactly.
us, we wanted them to know, you can believe in yourself when no one else may believe in you. You believe in you. And you find those ways to make a difference and transcend whatever's happening at home or in your community. Because we can't do anything about that. But we can do something about what happens in these walls from 7:30 in the morning until 3:00 in the afternoon, and sometimes beyond. Believe.
Awesome. Believe. That's awesome right there. And love, as you listen to the talk show, 347-857-4192, believe. And when you're dealing with children and dealing with adults, we still have to have that. We have to believe that we're capable of doing it. And our experts are sharing it. Her experience and what she used and what her staff and the individual in her community, your school is a community, used to get to our young people to be successful. Like I say, having something, you know, being firm with them. They want you to be firm. I ain't never know a child that don't want you to be. They don't want to be your friend. They understand that more than adults understand
that.
They kind of know a friend that they don't want to have at a time. Yeah, so, you know, so don't try to be their friend. They want you to be the adult in the classroom. They want you to be. They don't want you, but they want you to be fair with them. They want you to be firm with them. And then every now and then you don't embarrass them with a joke.
With the parents, you know, I just sometimes say, you know, now, you know, you're in my office. And maybe that happens at home. But let me tell you right now, it doesn't happen here. This is my home, away from home.
Woo.
You know, and sometimes, you know, I had parents that get kind of mad, but then they would come back and say, Ms. Black, I'm so glad that you got me straight. You know, I understand. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm so proud of our parents that went back to school because they want to even do better themselves. And we had several, in fact, more than several, that would go back and finish their high school diploma, whatever the case may be. and where we could help them make those connections and get the resources that they needed to do that, we did.
That's awesome. That's a community.
A
community that's don't involve the children, everybody.
Yeah, that's a community. And discipline is one factor. And the financial resources are another. You know, you were talking in the previous question. One thing we didn't allow, and I hope that if there's any, you know, there are educators and administrators listening tonight. When I first became principal, I went into, it was a very poor school, and the librarian, who didn't look like me, was so proud because she wanted me to know that she had gotten all these computers from a company that was upgrading their computers. So they had brought these computers, that hand-me-downs, over to the school. And she had stored them in her big, one of these very large closets. And she opened it up, and she was just so proud, tell me about that. And I said, well, what are we to do with them? Because there were wires and stuff going everywhere. Now, these computers that the company was throwing away and brought them to the school. And I told her, I said, no, you know, you might as well, because I'm going to have this junk. And I called it exactly what it was, junk removed. I said, if they are upgrading, why do we want secondhand equipment and materials and books? The library, the media center, the area you have to discard books and try to bring up your the dates of your collection. They had atlases that still had Russia on it, Soviet Union, and all kinds of stuff. Soviet Union had been broken up. So why you still have atlases with this kind of information that's incorrect information? So I had to fight those battles. Then I had to, you know, it was a lot of battles, you know, that I had to fight locally and statewide with the State Department down in Columbia. You know, just make sure you had the resources, current resources, and the financial money to make sure your kids had the very best. Like a child from the wealthy community had. And I was determined that's what we're going to do. And if you're an administrator and you're a teacher and you're not doing that, then you need to turn that around and make sure that every child that you interact with and every child in your school and your staff must have, they've got to have the resource and the up-to-date things, technology, to be successful, for the kids to be successful. And I just encourage you to, you know, do that. Yeah, you're going to have fights. Yeah, you're going to be, you know, called all kinds of names and probably, you know, put on the chopping block every once in a while. But you know something? I still have my head.
There you go. There you go. And you can be a part of this as well. That's 347-857-4192. We're going to just move to another topic in regards to education. And it's just something I saw on a Twitter, a Facebook or something. It said, are we teaching our children to be poor? And I wanted to just kind of just get some thought on that, some discussion on that. And someone may ask me, well, what you mean by teaching them to be poor? Are we not, as Scarlett was saying, about what we're not doing and what we need to do, are we not putting them in the best position and put their position to be successful? So in essence, if we're not, then we put them in a position when they're not going to be successful, so they won't have that economic advantage that education gives you if you work like you're supposed to and move forward. So that's what's one of the questions that I saw. Are we teaching our children to be poor? And Scott, if you want to share some thoughts on that, and, you know, we're getting close to the end of the hour, so we'll do as much as we can on that topic. We won't get to our relationship. We'll save it to the next show and the new year, and we'll talk about that more. So share your thoughts.
If you're not, if you're a parent and you're not fighting to have the best in your schools, which means you have to be involved, you got to be present, and you have to ask questions. And when I knew that my parents sometimes didn't know what questions to ask, I had cheat sheets, you know, I said, well, you're going to, I know you're going to have a conversation with one of the teachers in the school. Here's some questions you need to ask. Because I wanted to see what the responses and the feedback, you know, was going to be. And you need to spell. You don't need to just, again, the white, the charge on the white, the person on a white horse is not coming to save us. We've got to help us. We've got to take it block by block, school by school, community by community, person by person, child by child, and quit relying on someone to do it for us. We've got to be self-sufficient, and we got to gird ourselves up by our bootstraps and make sure that we're visible, because the squeaky wheel that makes the noise does get a lot of things. Because one thing is, you can try to, you know, parents, I just hate to see come. You know, I'm just going to tell you, this is real talk. You know, well, what do they want now? You know, that kind of thing. But it kept me on my toes and kept the staff on their toes. And they never see us, and they never hear from us. If we don't contact our legislators, if we don't, you know, say how we feel about things, we keep continuing to get, you know, dumped on. And that's the only way I know how to say it, is just dumped on. Lindsey Graham, I'm sure, knows me by name now. You know, I've written him so many letters about so many different things, and I know he's not going to change who he is or his policies on things, but at least he knows how I feel about some things. You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
And we just got to keep fighting, we got to keep striving, and we got to keep never giving up. It's almost like the point we've lost our will to think that we deserve any better. We've lost our hope. You know, and I don't like to see us lose that, you know. And things, you know, they are depressing sometimes, and they are, you just feel like, Lord, that I want to hear that again today, you know, all this. But then you have to turn around and say, but if I don't get involved, if I don't have hope, what else do I have? And
exactly.
We have faith. We're a people of faith. You know, we're faith based too. Whether you're white or black, you know, there are a lot of people in this country who believe in democracy, who believe in the Constitution, who believe in the rule of law and being fair. The squeaky wheel again. We just hear the noise. And we've just got to start, we've got to stop believing that, you know, this is not for us. Because everything for everybody else is for all of us. We are Americans, and it's for us. And more importantly, we're human beings. It's for us.
Wow. Awesome, awesome. I tell you now, it's been full of some strong comments and some good thoughts. Some things that, as you listen, you can use in your home to make sure, just the key words about making sure you speak with your children. Ask what's going on, and that's different with a lot of our households. Ask how their day went. You know, what you do in class today. And just continue on keeping that line of communication open with your family member, with your children. And that way we can kind of solve a lot of problems that we do have in our community. This show touched those bases tonight. We touched the social issue. We touched some educational issues. We had some things on relationships. We'll talk about that the next time when we have part three of this. And we can keep it going as many parts as we want to have. But we had an outstanding show tonight. Now, thanks, Scarlett, for being here and just tugging the load and just sharing her thoughts and her expertise, just like we asked. She's an expert. She can share thoughts, and she's always available to share things with you. And I know I'm not putting any more work on her, but she's on this show, and she's willing to talk to anybody and share some thoughts with them, as well as myself, Dr. Smith, as well as Lauren. But we're at the end of the show, Scarlett, and we're going to kind of wrap it up now. And I'm just going to ask you to share your final thoughts with them and wrap it up from your ends. Then I'll clean it up at the right behind you and just solve everything. What you said, close it out. And we'll go from there. Scarlett.
Well, again, it's an honor and a privilege to be with you on the only father and daughter blog, radio blog, that I know of in this country, and maybe internationally. I don't know about all over the world, but This has just been wonderful. And I'm just glad to be part of this team. And I'm glad for our listening audience who joins us when we have Talking Real to You, because it is real talk. And it's from the heart. If there's anything that we say or do on this show that can help make a difference, we're all for it, and we are happy to do that. A lot of life issues, a lot of things affecting us. But if nothing else, as we're going to the Christmas season, and we're in it now, and into a new year, I go back to that one word that I always had posted in my school: believe.
Believe.
Anything
awesome.
Possible. Anything
yes,
is
sir.
Possible. If you only believe, and then
believe.
Put the actions behind the word belief, because without action, it's just a word. 2019, new year coming. If you haven't done some things that you know that you need to do, and we all do a reassessment at the end of the year, so we know what we need to look at as we come into a new year. And we're going to make mistakes, and we're not going to always be consistent, but we're going to try and reinforce those things that we know that we need to do. Many of us have strong family upbringings, and we need to get back to that. Remember, believe, and put actions behind the word. Have a Merry Christmas and a joyous new year. And I wish the best for each and every one of you. Talking real.
And that
real talk.
There you go. That's
real
what I'm
talk.
Talking about. And believe. Real talk and believe and put some action behind that. You know, as we get close to the end of the show, and I always thank Scarlett for, as well as the other co-host and the other expert for being with us. And you know, I pray that we all have a very, very positive season of happiness, enjoy what we call the holidays of season. You know, we won't be back until the new year, and God bless us to see 19. And I just ask that for all of us, we'll be back bringing you some real talk from this team. And we're so proud to have you with us on here. And as we close out the show, now we do have a show on Wednesday night, which is Talking Sports Plus, will be coming to you on Wednesday night. Then also on Friday, we have a show that we're going to try to make sure we do on Friday at 4 o'clock, Balling with the Doc. But it's all a Smithway production. But we're in at the end of it, and we want to kind of close it out with some music. And hope that you have an opportunity to join us on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And we're going to, you know, I always have my little saying as we get to the end. I was always told when I start off, I get a little bit loud with the music, but I want to make sure I do my hashtag. Keep on grinding. Communicate for understanding. And I always say I love you and a thing you can do about it, but you have a very prosperous and a very joyful and happy holiday season, and definitely prepare yourself for an awesome 2019. I love you again, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night. In the hopes they disappear.
I'm trying to let it go. You just don't wanna know. And if I had a dime for every time I tried to call your name, oh, tell me I'd be wealthy. Learned that I could cope. Well, 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 well. I discovered I could make it. Oh, in nights so long and cold, so cold, you don't know how cold. I discovered I could take it. Oh. Now I wouldn't change a thing. No, no. Not for the knowledge, not for the knowledge that I've gained. Let me say it like this. I learned that I could grow. Can anybody know what I'm talking about?